Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Folklore Podcast Book Club, where we take an in-depth look at fiction and non-fiction books with a folklore focus, and meet their authors. Today's topic is magic, more specifically, Bohemian magic, as we meet the author of a book with that very theme and title, Veronica Varlo. Veronica is the last daughter in a line of Bohemian witches, and in this book, published by HarperCollins, she weaves together witchcraft knowledge and ancient secret spells with an exotic rock and roll magic style that has earned her a devoted following worldwide. This grimoire-style guide is filled with never-before-revealed spells, handwritten rituals, magic ephemera, hand-drawn sigils, potions, charms, and rhyming incantations. With more than 150 illustrations, drawings, photography and vintage art, and text written in her own hand, this is a work of art as much as it is a book. Veronica calls upon the ancient and hidden Czech Romani magic passed down to her from her grandmother Helen's lineage, and adds her own material to it. The Folklore Podcast's literary correspondent Hilary Wilson met with Veronica through the magic of the internet to discuss her work and life.
Hi, so I am here today with Veronica Varlo to discuss her new book, Bohemian Magic. So, welcome.
Hi, I am so happy to be here and talking with you.
I'm extremely happy to be talking with you as well.
Yay!
Absolutely adored your book. I thought it was an exceptionally beautiful book. It's
Thank you.
A work of art. Absolutely. And it's a deeply personal book. I was characterizing it as part memoir and part grimoire. Could you tell us a bit about what inspired you to write it?
Absolutely. Thank you. First of all, thank you so much. And I really wanted to create Bohemian Magic to be this story of my grandmother and the magic that she passed down. And I wanted it to also be an art spell. I wanted to bring into the book photographs, my rock and roll heroes, art that's inspired me that I felt like I could look at and escape into over my lifetime. And I feel like putting all of those things together in the pages of the book created this beautiful kind of a portal on the pages. And so that's something that was really important to me working on this book. And the thing that inspired it is that I really... my grandmother taught me the magic that her mother taught her, and it was something that really gave me a different view of life. It was very positive. It got me in touch with my own magic, and I love reading witchcraft books, and there were some similarities to what my grandmother did, but there was a lot of things that she did that I've never seen anywhere else. And my grandmother passed when I was 12 years old, and I wanted to pass this on to other people because I feel like my grandmother was so special and magical, and I wanted her to live on and her teachings to live on in the pages of Bohemian Magic so it wouldn't be lost.
Yeah, there was a lot in your book that struck me as extremely original and an extremely beautiful view of the world. You talked about the notion of the wild early on in your book, and I thought that that was extremely well written, particularly your story of how you became aware of it when your grandmother was brushing your hair.
Yeah.
Can you tell us that story?
Yeah, of course, of course. I was about 7 or 8 years old, and my grandmother, you know, I was going home after school. Some kids were making fun of me. And I think that a lot of the people listening, I can relate to being picked on when they were little, because, you know, we're different. The reason that we're into, you know, folklore, we're into these mysteries, we're into these stories, is because there's something that's different about us. We're intrigued by those magical things. And so I was getting made fun of, and I was really upset by it, because I just had such a sweet heart. And such, I didn't understand why we couldn't all just get along. And I was really, really upset. And I came home and I was crying. And my grandmother took me down to the dock by the lagoon. And she sat me down on the dock and brushed my hair and just let me talk it out while she was brushing my hair. And then after I finished telling her all the stories and stopped crying, she took my hair out of the brush, like just little wisps of my hair that got caught in the brush. And she took a pebble and put the brush, like put the hair on the dock with the pebble holding the hair down so it wouldn't just fly away. And in the corner. And we waited there for what seems like, you know, I mean, I was little, so it seemed like we were sitting there for a while. And then this little brown bird swooped down, grabbed a bit of the hair, and went away. Swooped back down, grabbed a little bit more of the hair, and went away. And the bird returned several times. And my grandmother explained to me, it was springtime, and she explained to me that bird was making a nest out of my hair. And she said to me, "Why do you care about what other people think about you when baby birds are going to grow up singing their first song nestled in your hair?" And that was something that just made me feel magical. It made me feel confident in that age where people are starting to notice, kids are starting to notice differences about each other, and they start picking on each other. I felt like that's the age when magic starts moving away from you and you have to hold on to it. And my grandmother gave that to me at that moment, and it really helped me in my life. And I hope that people hear this story and that other little kids, you know, can weave their pieces of their hair out for the bird's nest too.
You know, it's such a magical way of thinking that you can be that interconnected to everything around you.
And yeah.
It's such a beautiful notion, because that's something that could happen anywhere. You know, there are birds all around us.
Yeah.
There's the wild all around us, whether we're in a city, in an apartment, or, you know, out in the country, there's life all around us that we're interconnected with. And that's something that's very easy to miss. And I thought that was something that you talked about very beautifully through that story. And to characterize the wild as not just, you know, nature all around you, but the interconnectedness of things and our ability to access that. You know, I thought that was just utterly fascinating.
Thank you. Thank you. I think that all of us have that wild within us, and it's our own unique magic. And it's that deep connection with nature, with the world around us, with each other, the knowing, the intuition. That's what the wild is to me.
You were able to access some of that through your family history.
Yeah.
Did you do any particular research, you know, over the years to get into writing this, you know, since you had such a deep connection with your grandmother?
You know, it's interesting because most of the things that I put in the book were things that I had written in journals, that from memory, and I got all of my remaining journals because I had a house fire years ago where I lost a bunch of them. But in the journals that I had, I was able to piece together a lot of things, and talking to my father, because my grandmother's stories, it's from my father as well. That's my, my grandmother's son is my father. So talking to family members and finding out stories about grandma and some things that I didn't know, that she was born with a veil, which is, when there's almost a flap of skin that is over the baby's face. And I didn't know that. And my uncle told me that story. And he said, well, you should look that up because it was a really big deal that grandma was born with a veil, because sailors believed they would take pieces of the veil and bring that on voyages with them, because they believed that it would protect them, because a baby that was born with the veil had a third sight and or second sight and could do all of these magical things and know when things were going to happen. So that I found out only a couple of years ago from my uncle, and he was telling me the story and about, how she had talked to him about that. And, my great grandmother, Anna, really knew that that was such a magical thing. And she was so happy that my grandmother, and my grandmother is very powerful. She was very powerful. She was absolutely supernatural. So she did absolutely have that ability.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean, the fact that you were writing so much down, that probably, helped in the recollection of it later, even when you didn't have the journals.
Yeah, it's true. It's like when we write, and I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who are writers, and I think it's so important because there's so much going on in life. It's easy to forget if you don't put it down. And so just the simple process of putting memories and thoughts and dreams down on paper will cement them further into your memory.
Yeah, there was definitely a very deep connection to your family in the writing. I was very interested, reading about it. You made some brief mentions to the abilities that other family members of yours had.
Yeah.
It was just an amazing thought to, have such a supportive and, interested family, in these sorts of traditions.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of connection is something that seems to be a little bit less common now.
I do feel really lucky that my family, growing up in a family that supported our magic and did magic. And I mean, any time that I had a problem, my father would say, well, I'll light a candle and look into the flame for you, when I needed to know something. Because sometimes it's interesting when you're doing your own magic, sometimes it's hard to do it for yourself all the time. Like sometimes if you have a major decision, it sometimes can be cloudy by your own thoughts and feelings. And sometimes it's good to ask for advice from other people and just check in. And my dad would always, to this day, if I have something major going on, he looks into the candle flame and will tell me which way he thinks that I need to go.
But your own connection to magic, that became briefly severed for a time. Could you tell us a little bit about how you ended up coming back to it?
Absolutely. And Hillary, I think this is such an important question, and I'm really glad that you're bringing this up, because I think that so many people hear this story and they think, oh, well, she's just magic and she's doing this stuff all the time. I was raised with magic, and I actually felt when I was older, as I was like moving to the city and dealing with you know, paying rent and needing to work a bunch to make ends meet. And I really felt like I lost my connection with magic. I felt like I didn't have time to do magic. When am I going to do that? I'm working a billion jobs. I'm going to school. I'm trying to keep a roof over my head. And it's very easy to forget your magic and instead be this, you know, this like almost robot that's doing all of this work just to survive. And I definitely fell into that. I would say that a lot of that was happening around the time I was like 24, right after I left school. You know, I was working during when I was going to school as well. And I just felt so overwhelmed by life. I felt like I turned my back on my magic. And a couple years later, I was attacked in the face by a Rottweiler while I was volunteering at an animal shelter. And that was one of the turning points in my life. It was really beautiful. And I believe that animals have always been kind of like my guides. They've always been my helpers in this world. And this dog attacked me in the face and ripped off part of my nose and hit me right underneath my eye. And what was beautiful about this is that I went to surgery and they couldn't put me under because I was in such shock that they just did numbing on everything and then started to stitch me back together. And it took 8 hours. And I remember looking at the ceiling and just thinking about my life and thinking, why didn't I do the things in life I wanted to do? It was that moment that you get. It's like the crossroads moment. It's like, why am I not having my beautiful life while I'm here? And I thought that the only thing that was holding me back was that I was so worried about what other people were going to think about me, that I wasn't doing what I really wanted to do or trying or attempting. So because of that, I made a commitment to myself while I was on that operating table. And I can't imagine what would have happened if that dog hadn't have woken me up in that moment. Like that, without a doubt, was a magical moment for me. And that dog came with a message of like, you're only here for so long. Wake up and do the things you're meant to be doing and just be brave and do them. And I really went back to my magic. I really thought that that was a moment that was an initiation moment for me. And that changed the course of my life. Absolutely.
Moments that wake people up are not always the beautiful things that people might expect. Sometimes there's a dog attacking your face.
It's true. It is true. It is true. I think that the biggest beautiful changes in my life have all been the results of, you know, my house burning down to the ground, or, you know, this dog attack, like, you know, transformed into something beautiful in the end. And it's just like how you look at those things. So
Yeah, that's one of the really interesting things that I thought about your book, because these are, you know, horrific moments that could just absolutely result in utter despair. And you know, you did have moments of despair, and you wrote about them quite, you know, plainly, but at the same time, you were able to then take that story and turn it into something magical, you know, turn it into something that would not only inspire you to move you forward, but it would also inspire the reader. And I, you know, thought as I was reading the book that that's so much of what magic is or could be, you know, reframing the stories. You wrote about that in the Crossfire Hurricane spell, you know, in particular, which I absolutely loved the entire notion of. If you can tell us about that.
Oh, absolutely. I love this because I think that looking at ourselves And imagining ourselves as if we're the main character in the story, because we are, and looking at our beginnings and reframing things, telling the truth about it, but looking at things in a different way. For instance, the reason that I did this is because I was go-going on stage at the Flipper Room and Jumpin' Jack Flash by the Rolling Stones came on. And, you know, one of the first lyrics is, I was born in a crossfire hurricane. And as I'm dancing, I'm thinking, wow, that would be like, what a powerful statement. And then I thought to myself, I wonder what the weather was doing when I was born. Now, it was a, you know, it was a very warm and beautiful spring day when I was born. Nothing crazy was going on. But when I looked deeper into different things, I found some really interesting things around the time I was born and my beginnings. And, you know, I started working with other people doing this. And people were born during, you know, you could look it up online and see your birthday, what was the weather doing? There was like tornadoes, hurricanes, floods going on when other people were born. And, you know, how does that affect you? What was happening? What was the moon doing at the time that you were born? Not talking about astrology, but talking about what moon phase was happening. Were you born during a full moon? Were you born during a new moon for your new beginning? You know, how many siblings do you have? Were you the first daughter of the first daughter? You know, there's so many interesting ways to look and reframe or look at yourself in a new way that you hadn't looked at yourself before, a way that's poetic and powerful, because we all want to be leading those legendary lives. And you need to know that you are a unique legend and you are the main character. So it's time to look at yourself and respect yourself and treat yourself in that way. And that is one of the very first spells and how to do that in Bohemian magic.
That's one of the things that I think is so attractive about folklore, is that we think about our everyday existence, you know, the places that we live, the things that we do, but we don't think about the deeper meaning behind them, or, you know, the stories that they surround them. So, you know, when I was reading Crossfire Hurricane, it made me laugh out loud a bit there, because when, you know, the place that I was born and the time that I was born, there was actually werewolf sightings.
That's amazing.
That's something that's always been in the back of my head since I read it, and it really made me laugh, because, you know, that's a more interesting way to say than, you know, yes, this is my birth date. But no, I was born during one of the last werewolf sightings.
I have goosebumps right now. Like, that's what I'm talking about. There's so much power, and we'll do so much research about everything else. We will Google, Wikipedia, whatever, everything else, but we don't give that same respect to our own story and be like, what was going on? We deserve that. Yes.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's crazy, but something as basic as the weather can be, you know, an extremely interesting thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I really liked that aspect of storytelling, and, you know, how we can retell, you know, the stories of our own lives in just interesting ways.
And you fall in love with yourself again, or you find yourself again. Like, you even telling me that story right now, like, I am never going to forget that about you. And that's going to be an aspect of you in my world. And that's the Hillary that I want to know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care the date. I want to know that. That is fascinating to me.
It definitely sticks in the person's head a bit more than mm-hmm. And that playful aspect of, you know, your book which, you know, I say playful and not in a diminutive way, but in the fact that it is more playful, it's more engaged than, you know, simply reciting particular words or, you know, memorizing phrases in a foreign language. It's an engaged way that I think boils magic down to what magic is in a lot of ways always has been. You know, it's the Delphic oracle, know thyself. You know, you're learning to know yourself in a better way and to, you know, harden yourself through that fire.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mentioned this in the email to you before, but I had been, you know, listening to Lou Reed again, because he does get mentioned in your book.
Yeah.
And it's a particular song out of Magic and Loss, the title track, I think, you know, where he talks about how you have to walk through the fire, you know, to, you know, find your passion and, you know, what is left at the end after you go through this. And I thought that that was very similar to the initiations that your book lays out. There's a lot of very hard work that is getting done, you know, what you lay forth, but at the end of it, you definitely do have a more refined version of yourself.
Yes, a legendary life, and definitely somebody that, you know, is open to all of those beautiful connections of magic in all the beautiful positive forms out there. Like, I absolutely believe that it is a journey. It is a journey. The book is a journey and initiations. And yeah, Lou Reed in the book, I talk about how he came to me. It's a wild story and you have to read it in the book. But the message that he gave me was, our lives are a story. And what we do with that is called art. And, you know, making our lives that magical art, that legendary, beautiful thing, because they want to be, and we want to be, we want to create and shape and make that. And so my wish and hope is that people will read Bohemian Magic and follow the initiations and go through the journey with me, because I set up these journeys where, you know, you're the hero and I'm walking you through it. And, you know, because I believe that, you know, these things will really help you have that next level experience in your life and will help you magnetize more love and connection and purpose in your world. And that's what I wish for everyone. I really do. I think our world would be such a better place if we really knew who we were and we were able to express that in a beautiful and positive way. It's just a ripple effect.
I think that you definitely are helping anybody who reads your book to do that. And you also help people in many other ways as well. You know, you teach this stuff to people, and the book is just another way for you to reach them. But you actually offer classes and readings and the like as well, right?
I do. You know, I have been doing, I haven't done readings in person in quite a while, but what I do is I have done, I do Witch Camp, which is hopefully going to be returning soon with everything going on with, in the world right now, Witch Camp and retreats and, you know, where we could get together and be in nature, and the most wonderful, accepting, beautiful people from all over the world, like have come through, have been called to Witch Camp. And it's really beautiful to work magic with so many like-minded people that want to help and support each other. And online at lovewitch.com, which is my website, there's all sorts of courses like the Love Witch Academy and Love Witch Tarot School. And I teach many of the things that were passed down to me. So it's like, you see me, and it's very interactive in the lessons. Like, you have homework to do and you can talk about, you know, there's other people that are taking the course too. And like, everybody communicates with each other and it's a lot of fun. It's really, I think that's really powerful to have that community, that magical community when you're learning.
Yeah, it was really interesting to me just how communal the magic that you were writing about is. Yeah, because even when you're reading the book, you have this experience, or at least I had this experience, where I didn't feel like I was the sole person reading the book. You know, I felt like I was well aware of everybody else who was reading it with me, who was doing the same things that I was, because you talk to the person who's reading it. And you know, multiple reviewers I've seen have said that, you know, it was very similar to the experience they had taking classes from you, that it was, you know, you just speaking directly. And that communal aspect is not something that I've come across a lot, you know, with reading magical texts. A lot of magic seems a lot more solitary to me, so I thought it was very interesting that you took such a strongly communal stance with it.
It you know, it is very important to me, because after my grandma passed, the majority of my magic was solitary, and I longed to meet other magical people. And it's such a deep way, Hillary. Like I can't tell you like how much my entire spirit was calling out for that magical community where we could be ourselves without judgment and help each other and help lift each other up and do magical spells together and like times like for each one of us, and be in a circle where we say our wishes and we all project that out together and like multiply that magic even more. And so that was a big, big thing to me. And that's why I created Witch Camp and why I started doing these retreats, because it became life-changing. Like, those women are my family. They have become my family. And that's, I talk about them in the book. They're my sisters for a lifetime. And I want the reader to be able to know that they are also a part of that family, that you're not alone, because we're different, you know? And the thing is that we can feel like we are alone. And I, especially as the pandemic has kept us away from each other, I wanted, my intention was to have this book land in the right people's hands and they could open it up and know that they have a family out there. And that this, doing these initiations in the book, like, we've all done them together, and like, you're a part of it. And like, that really means a lot to me, Hillary, what you just said, because I haven't heard that from somebody interviewing me. And I think that is one of the deepest compliments I've received, is about what a community it is, because that I felt so alone for the majority of my life. And so this has been a way to put the call out and be, you know, have that beacon of light shining out for all of us, so we can all meet together, you know, under the moon, wherever in the world you are, and through the words and the portals of the pages of this book.
I really felt that when I was reading it. It was a very powerful feeling.
Thank you.
It was a very good feeling. And
Thank
I think
you.
That I'm not the only one who, you know, is having that experience reading it. The pictures that you painted in it were vibrant enough that I feel like I have some of the memories of being out in the forest with a sledgehammer breaking the plates. I really felt that, and it was a very magical experience. And I, you know, I strongly encourage, you know, others to read this as well, because I genuinely think that it's an extremely helpful book.
Thank you.
It's a very powerful book, and I think that it challenges a lot of notions that people might have about magic. You know, it's not solitary. It's not as serious as people might think that it would be, whereas the work that you are doing is serious, but you can do it in such a playful manner with others.
Yeah.
Have fun with it. You can reframe yourself, and you can come away more powerful and more connected than you were before. And what a beautiful message that is for the time that we're living in.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Certainly hard doing this during a pandemic, but I think that, you know, this is a message that needs to be heard, you know, during this time when we're all lonely right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear that, and I cried the last three pages, last chapter of the book. It was like prime pandemic when I was writing it. It was in 2020, and that first summer, and I was, you know, really missing all of my sisters from Witch Camp and all of my magical family, and you know, my sisters and brothers from the Chelsea Hotel Coven, and I just really just wanted to put that out there for everyone, because you know, we can do magic solitary, of course, and a lot of my magic is solitary, and also I feel like doing it in a community is such an incredible, beautiful experience, and I wanted everybody to know that they've always got a place. So
that reading the book gives you a little bit of a taste of it.
Thank you.
I can hardly imagine how much more powerful it must be to actually be there,
all in our slips in the river and like doing our marriage, like our like self marriage, and like you get to pick your rings and the fun bat rings and the commitments we make to ourselves. It's really powerful and beautiful, and howling at the moon together. It's really beautiful.
And a lot of that does come through with the pictures there too, though.
Thank you.
There's so much energy in there. And, you know, I just love it.
Thank you.
But now that you've put this out here, you know, this beautiful love letter, this beautiful call, I have to ask what you're planning on next.
Ooh, well, I am working on two books right now. I'm doing one book that is going to be in the similar vibe of Bohemian Magic, like the next one, and it is The Love Witch Academy. It's about bringing in and magnetizing love to yourself, to your work, to your purpose, to your friendships, to that special partner that you are calling out for, or one that's in your life, how to enhance that even more. So it's about bringing love to all of the phases of your life, like every single aspect, and really going into that deep, juicy, gorgeous life that you deserve to have with all of these next level spells and fun and love potions, and just really, you know, because, you know, I feel very lucky to have met some of the greatest people out there at witch camps and things like that, and other witches, and like us talking right now, like I feel I'm so magnetized to you, and I feel like we have such a connection. And it's like you know, when we put ourselves out there, when we're brave and put ourselves out there and do these things, it's having that magical love connection for friends, for our jobs, for our work, for our art. Like, let's do it. And that's going to be the next book. And I'm also working on a fiction magical book. So there's a lot of juicy things going on, and I'm hoping to be doing more courses on the website, and also obviously in person as well, as things start getting better by the day.
Yeah. So people can find you online.
Yes, at lovewitch.com, lovewitch.com. And also I'm on Instagram often under at Veronica Varlow, which is Veronica and then VARLOW. So I do a fun Tarot Tuesday that's interactive, so you can get your cards read every Tuesday from me for fun on Instagram. And yeah, there's a great community there too. I mean, you could see the people commenting, and they're like the most fun magical beings. So you could all follow them, and then bam, community done. Let's do this.
But it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I greatly look forward to being able to talk to you again when your next book is out.
I can't wait. I can't wait. I hope we talk again sooner, because you are absolutely magical, and your origin story now is something that's going to really stick with me. I mean, that's one of the most badass things I've ever heard. So let's do more of this, shall we?
I look forward to it.
You can read Hillary's review of Bohemian Magic on the Folklore Podcast website, and the book is published by HarperCollins and available from any good bookshop. The Folklore Podcast and the Book Club are the official podcasts of the Folklore Library and Archive, a volunteer-led organisation dedicated to collecting and preserving folklore in all forms, and making it freely available for the future. You can learn more at www.folklorelibrary.com. If you can help us to keep our work going, please consider either joining the Folklore Podcast Patreon page at www.patreon.com/thefolklorepodcast, where you can find extra content. Alternatively, you can make a one-off donation at www.folklorelibrary.com/fundraising. But if you can't help financially, then please do engage with us on social media and share our work. By doing this, you're actively helping us to reach more people. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.